And welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer for O-Rock.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm kind of wishing we had other writers, so the title head writer was more meaningful.
I mean, I write sometimes, too. I wrote the 15 words that were in the script for Awkward Steve. I did writing for Beard in the Mirror. So, you know, it's okay.
And then you, like, rewrote all those scenes in Cat President. It was great.
There's a little bit of rewriting. I might have gotten carried away. It's all good. Oh, wait, and one of our friends on Twitter has mentioned a few times that she might write a dating sim about potatoes for us. So, if she can move forward with that, then you're definitely the head writer.
Awesome. Okay.
Unless it's really good, in which case she might actually be the head writer.
Oh no! Oh no! 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 Oh well. Can I at least draw pictures of potatoes? I don't know what the game would want.
I was thinking it would be photographs of potatoes. I'm sorry, Michael.
Oh no! Yeah. I'm gonna be fired.
You might be rendered obsolete, but we're not there yet. Don't worry.
Replaced by potatoes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I showed Internet Court to my mother, actually. She got to see it. My mother and she got to play through case number one.
In which she is one of the stars.
So she liked it a lot. I think she liked herself a lot.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But I don't know if this is just mom-specific, but she had no idea how the scroll bars worked.
Oh, okay. She's not the only one that had problems with the scroll bars. Ugh. What was her problem? Did she just not know that they were scroll bars, or?
She apparently has never been on a website that uses scroll bars before, which is a lie because she's been on Facebook. But maybe she just Facebooks on her phone and then...
No, this was an issue that came up in testing, too. One of the testers said that he missed some stuff. It was in case number one, because that's one we've had tested so far. He missed some stuff because he didn't realize you could scroll. I don't know. I don't remember at this point which version of the game you have, but I did update the scroll bars a little bit to try to make it more obvious that they are scroll bars.
I have the older version of it.
Okay.
The one where, like, the big X mark is in the upper left-hand corner.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
No, but in any case, no, just the fact that she had no idea what scroll bars are, period. It's not that she didn't recognize, oh,
no.
There's a scroll bar on this page.
She's like,
she had no idea what scroll bars are, just in general. So, with the puzzles that involved scrolling or going through the Facebook page, I had to solve all the puzzles for her. They didn't even try to solve the puzzles. They're like, Michael, come here, solve the puzzle.
Oh,
I think
no.
Even the basic one, I think one puzzle is really simple. It's like, okay, which post is relevant to the statement about the cat? Well, it's the post about the cat.
Yeah.
Mom kind of figured that out on her own, but she wanted me to do it for her. It's just like, I think this is it, but I'm not sure. It's like, well, you could try, and it's funny because I actually got one of the answers wrong when trying to solve it, so I don't know how to beat my own game.
So what do you think? Should we try to do something about this to help people who are unfamiliar with the concept of scroll bars?
I don't know. Are scroll bars that common? Because I feel like the target audience knows what the internet is.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people do their interneting on their phones at this point, but anyone who would be using a computer to play a computer game would hopefully also be familiar with the concept of scroll bars. Like, it'd be one thing if we were making a phone app and we had scroll bars. That might be a little more confusing, but...
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Doesn't RenP have that option now?
Oh, boy.
To export to, a touchscreen game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, remember we tried that with the first Francie Drew game.
Huh.
That's on the Android store. It sold almost 5 copies.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling in it.
How many copies did it sell outside of the Android store, though?
You know, we don't need to worry about numbers. That's not important. What's important is that the people who played it enjoyed it.
That's good.
Yeah. But anyway, I was going to say I was actually just playing this fairly new FMV game called Morph Girl. And one of the things they do right at the beginning of the game before you even see any video footage, I think, is they just sort of have a couple of lines of dialogue sort of describing the controls of the game and how to play it and things like that. And I've been wondering both for this and like going back to Awkward Steve if that's something that would be smart to implement. Or just a separate controls screen that describes how to play the game too. I don't know if something like that would help people or not.
Yeah, I can see that. Most of our games are just a visual novel, so it's generally just click whenever.
Yeah.
Doesn't RenPy like have that built-in help screen?
Yeah, oh, it has. There's some sort of help button that you can push that opens like a text document on your computer, I think.
Oh.
But I usually remove that from the game because the controls don't really like the things that are listed in the help document don't match what's in the game itself. It's based on the default controls for RenFi, and I sometimes change those.
Yeah, I rarely look at the, you know, the help document or the read me first document, which comes with a game.
Yeah, I sort of think most people don't at this point. It seems like sort of an old school thing. So that's why I don't really mess with it that much. I don't know. Like I said, other people were having trouble with the scroll bar too, just because they didn't notice it was a scroll bar. I mean, this is dumb, but someone wanted me to add arrows to the scroll bar, which, I mean, most real-life scroll bars do, but for some reason, RenPy does not support having arrows at the top and bottom of your scroll bar. Like, there's no way to do it. I even asked on the forums, and no one responded.
Oh my gosh.
Which is kind of weird.
And you can't even do the cheap workaround of, okay, we've got an arrow drawn at the top and the bottom that you just can't interact with, because that would totally throw people off.
Yeah, exactly, because then people would think you're supposed to click on it, and then it would click on it, and nothing would happen. So I added, like, what was it? What did I do? I opened the art for the scroll bar in Photoshop, and I added some, like, textures and things like that I thought made it stand out a little more.
That's what I would do. Make it wider, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, wider. That's pretty good, too. I can mess around with
that. That's another way of making it more catchy, but yeah, textures. Those are good.
Make scroll bar wider. Yeah, okay. That sounds good to me. But other than that, the test went well. She seemed to like the game.
Yep, she seemed to like it.
Good. Mom approved.
Mom approved. Get tested. Mom approved, yeah.
But then the Steam store. Our moms liked it. Also, they were in it.
So I told them they could expect the final game to come out 2027.
That seems about accurate. Actually, I was going to give you an update on the development of Internet Court, since we're talking about it. I'm just about finished case number 2.
Awesome, actually.
Making good progress. Yeah, I think I'm about 3 pages from the end. And boy, I'm ready to be out of the case that my character is the star of. I'm finished with watching myself act now. I'm ready. Yes. I'm ready to be done. I feel your pain from before for case number 1. I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. I think case number 3 I think is Diana's case, right?
Yep, it's Diana's case.
Yeah. All right, put her in the spotlight this time.
Yep, and then case number 4 was going to be I think the original plan was to like split it up between the 3 characters.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Each one gets 10 pages or 15 pages, I forget how many.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that's entirely how it worked, but that's what...
I think it mostly worked out that way, right? I mean, and we have to pay attention to the strike meters for all three characters, which is going to be interesting to play around with.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that was sort of the idea. I remember bringing your character in towards the end. It's like, hey, it's my turn to be cool now.
Yes.
You both had a turn. It's my turn.
This game is so good. Yeah. I think people are going to like this when they eventually get to play it. But yeah, so... One interesting thing with Internet Court is that I finally have basically all of the footage about a year later. I've been waiting on one person's footage since we started the casting call, which was about a year ago. Everyone else sent in their footage within a month, and this person kind of kept saying that they were going to turn it in soon. Like, I would email them every once in a while and be like, hey, how's it coming along? And he'd be like, oh, I'm almost finished. I'm going to send it to you tonight. I'm going to send it to you Friday. I'm going to send it to you this weekend. And that went on until now, basically, for the last 12 months. So I eventually gave in, and we finally got somebody else to take the role instead. I'm very excited to finally have... Again, basically all of the footage in for the game. And to once again reiterate that one of the hardest things about game development is finding reliable people to work with. Like, the person who initially auditioned for this role that kind of strung me along for a year, like, his audition was really good. I would have been really happy to have him in the game. Like, his work was really good, but he didn't do the thing. I mean, it doesn't really matter how good you are at something if you don't actually do it, you know?
I don't understand the point of having a really good audition if you don't want to be in the final product, but...
I don't know what the issue was, and like I said, he kept saying, I've almost got it ready, and I kept saying, all right, great. I was kind of hoping he would just say at some point, like, I can't do it, I'm sorry, I don't have time to record these 11 lines, it's not going to happen, but no, I gave him all the opportunities to say that, and he didn't. So I had to actually, quote, fire him, which didn't feel great.
Aww.
But anyway, yeah, we got someone else. If I haven't said this already, it's someone long-time Game Cola fans will recognize. I'll leave it at that for now, but mm-hmm. I'm very happy about the new casting.
Well, anyway, that's good. Closing case 2, so that'd be, what, the game's 40% done now?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, of course, there's all the GUI and menu stuff that I haven't done, but the core of the game, yeah.
That's good. So, are you still doing the thing where you do all the video footage and get all that set into place, and then you go back and do all the subtitles, or are you doing the video clips along with the subtitles?
I mean, I'm sort of doing it all at once. I mean, I'll edit the video clips... import them into the, whatever, convert them, import them into the game, and then layer the subtitles on top of them. I mean, I do it by scene by scene, so I'll edit, like, you know, 5 or 6 videos, and then I'll do all the subtitles for that set of videos, and etc.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I have to, I think I probably mentioned this already, right? I have to do audio editing on everything, too, in addition to just editing the clips.
Ooh, wow, what?
No. Oh, yeah, I have to... Yeah, well, because, I mean, everyone's videos, it's all just recorded on our phones and laptops and stuff like that, so they all have background noise that needs to be removed. And I can't remove the background noise in my video editing software, so I have to export the audio as an MP3 file, open it in Audacity, remove the background, save it, and then import it back into the Vegas movie-making software. Just because otherwise, especially my footage... sounds really bad. Like, it had audible hisses in the background.
Although that would be, like, very internet-y, I suppose.
It would. It sounded so bad. I didn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if we do a sequel, I might try to rethink some of my work strategy here, because this is taking quite a bit of time, but...
Well, I mean, my footage is not HD, and that was on purpose, trying to make it kind of bad. I feel like just one... That's enough for the department of something isn't, you know, 100% perfect, yeah. Like they would do in a studio footage.
Yeah. But anyway, also when I add music to it, it kind of helps mask anything I don't catch too, which is nice.
Oh, the music was great. They asked about that. They're like,
oh, they did.
Where did you get the music from?
Oh, they liked it. Oh, good. Okay.
And I said, well, Paul's main concern was that the music would, you know, like, cover up what people are saying or be too distracting, but no, liked it, so.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay, good, good, good. I can't wait to get this game released.
Well, if there's anything I can do to help, I'm probably too busy to, but...
I guess I appreciate the offer.
Oh, potty training is no fun. Okay. Oh. I feel like the child has, like, you know, cottoned on to how potty training works.
Oh, no.
And the child is not doing the thing which I've heard other parents do, where the you know, once the child figures out how it works, it's like, oh, I go potty and do I, and then I get a special treat. And so the sneaky child will just, you know, pee the smallest, tiniest amount possible to get the special treat. And then 5 minutes later, pee the tiniest, smallest amount possible. Just trying to game the system.
Yes.
So that's not been happening, but I'm worried that's in the future.
It seems just like a smart strategy to me. I don't know. Maximize your treats. Absolutely. That's what I would do if I was being potty trained.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eventually switch to the system that they use in all those mobile games, where it's like, oh, wow, you get an award every single time you take the action, and then all of a sudden you get a reward 80% of the time.
Oh.
And then 60, and then 40. Yeah, they get you hooked, and then they drop it down to, oh, you get an award 5% of the time, the end.
I sense a video game about this. It's right there. Oh gosh, I bet if I looked it up, there are probably already mobile games about potty training, aren't there?
They're probably disgusting. I would not.
Oh, all right. I'm just gonna not Google that one.
Good plan.
Oh, but I'm so tempted. Oh, 5 potty training apps for kids. That sounds nice.
Oh, that's just for helping kids potty train, I
guess.
Yeah.
Well, I want it to be fun.
But potty training is fun.
It does, you know, by the way you're describing it, it actually doesn't sound like it's that much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, here's a fun one. You're potty training with different animals. There's a horse sitting on top of a toilet.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. Oh, yep, that really helps sometimes, or at least I think it helps. I don't know how helpful it is, but role-playing will, you know, often help the child know what to do. It's just like Internet Court, where they help judges learn by having them role-play old trials. That's clearly it. Actually, my mom really loved the line from the bad ending, where you give the defense a strike, or... you give somebody a strike and you say, hey, if life was fair, I'd be in an actual courtroom and say, hang out with you losers.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm just cracked up.
Awesome. Oh, I need to get my mom to play the game too. She hasn't seen it yet.
Hopefully she's seen her own footage. Actually, that is questionable. Yeah.
No, she hasn't seen any of it. Not since we recorded her. All her friends at happy hour want to play it too, though.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think that's the latest on Internet Court right now.
Let's see, have we been working on any other games besides that? I mean, I've got my games, but any Ouroch games?
Yeah, Cat President 2 is trucking along. I just sent you the revisions for the 5th pathway, I think last week, a couple weeks ago. And I'm moving on to the 6th one.
Oh, hopefully I'll be able to get to that sometime soon.
It's all good. I know, it all takes forever. It takes forever on my end, too. I'm excited to... I think this one's going to go a little faster, and I'm excited to be finished with the stage, because then I get to the stage where I start asking people for their cute cat photos. And that's the fun part. That's the real fun part.
Is picking, like, the 5 or 6 main cats, yeah.
Oh, I've actually started writing down... I should have been doing this from the beginning, but I've started writing down all the different roles that we're going to need to cast, in case there's, like, any really specific cats or other animals that we need. Like, I know at one point we need a parrot, So, like, when I make my social media post asking for cat photos, I can be like, and I also could specifically use, like, this parrot, a cat dressed as a policeman, if you can, a really grouchy-looking cat, a really old-looking cat, just to see if that helps at all.
That would be great. A cat dressed like a policeman. Oh,
dude, I'm so tempted. I have this friend in the Ithaca area who is really excited about Cat President and told me that their cat is really good at wearing costumes. And they don't currently have a police officer costume, but I'm very tempted to spend some Cat President budget buying one.
I am checking. Was that in the pathway you just played?
Oh, it's one. Yeah. So your script doesn't actually specify that this character should be a cat. I just thought it would be funny.
Okay, yeah, I tried doing that with most of the characters. It's like, didn't specify if they're a cat or not because I didn't want to, like, box us in a corner where...
Yeah.
You know, we've got a police officer cat, but...
But yeah, that's something that's been on my mind.
Okay, so I just opened up the Cat President file you just sent me. Oh my gosh, yeah. All those red lines everywhere.
I told you, I went a little overboard, I'm sorry.
You put in emojis, yes.
Oh, it's all right. You're welcome to reject anything. It's all good.
Aww.
Go back to the other ones. They don't have as many changes.
Yeah. No. Okay. I'm not distracting myself. Yeah. Just go back to the first one, the one that we're almost done with.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to those ones. Those will make you feel better.
Well, I feel like with that one, I know we there are a couple times of us going back and forth that, you know, instead of going through every single thing, I just looked for the revisions, the stuff that had been changed, and saw if I approved it. I feel like that was a good strategy. But then I so the last version of the first pathway that you got, I just read through the entire thing all at once and just made any and all changes that came to mind. Because I thought, okay, well, we're almost done. This will be, I'll be going through it just for the final time. But then you sent it back to me.
No, the first one, I think I sent you back, I just accepted everything. I don't think there were that many, if any, changes in it.
I'll see. There's...
I think I just sent it to you so that you would have, like, the same version as me, well, with everything accepted. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you could be wrong. Okay, there's at least one line that looks...
Maybe there was one line that you changed that I didn't like.
It doesn't look like it was really changed that. Oh, here's a second one.
Oh, no.
Whatever, I'll look through that later.
Look, I'm just trying to make everything as hard on you as possible. I hope that's okay.
That's great, thank you. So I know this is the podcast about playing games and making games.
Yes.
So I played King's Quest VII, The Princeless Bride, recently, and I figured we should talk about it while it's fresh in my mind.
Oh no, what did you think of it?
Because you've played the game. I don't like how you sound depressed about it.
Because you never like the adventure games that I like.
The first, like, half is... I'd say the first two-thirds of the game was great.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of my problems with the game are not with the game specifically. So, audio issues. I presume this is not the way the game's supposed to work, but Rosella's dialogue kept, like, not happening, so her mouth would move, but we wouldn't hear anything.
Oh, that's weird.
And occasionally, you know, like, if it was part of a scene as opposed to just the character talking when you look at an item... Mm-hmm. So that would just crash the game completely, and the game freeze. And so that was really awful. But I assume that's not how the game is supposed to work.
No, were you playing like the Steam version, or what were you playing?
I was playing the Internet Archive version, actually.
Oh, really?
They have like three or four different versions on Internet Archive. Actually, maybe I just picked the wrong one.
No, that's sort of a thing with Sierra games in general, is that they don't really run that well on anything but, like, the specific Windows version that they came out on, and people try to port them, but it doesn't always turn out that great.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently with the one puzzle, like, there's a firecracker that you have. Your character has a firecracker, and they take it, like, 3 screens to the left and use it on a door to open up the door, because we don't have the key for the lock.
Makes sense.
Apparently, the original version of the game that was built on... that depends on processing speed.
Oh.
So, I guess the firecracker, it stays lit for 10 cycles, and after 10 processing cycles, it automatically explodes. I'm making up those numbers here.
Yeah, no, but I know what you mean.
But that was not an issue for me, but apparently that's been an issue for tons of other people trying to play that game.
Yeah, well, don't forget when we played Willy Beamish that one time.
That same thing happened.
It's the same exact thing with a frog and the conveyor belt or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it was also, what, the 11th guest? Yeah. Same problem. So, what did I say? I liked the game all the way up to, say, 70-80% in. Like, partway through chapter 5.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
Partway through chapter 5, it just became a, you played all the other games, right? You know who these characters are. You know whatever this magical sky kingdom is. You get transported to the Fates, and they're talking about their cousin and Queen Mab, and then there's King Titanian, Queen... it's like, none of these characters, I don't know who they are.
Oops.
And they weren't introduced at all, so, I mean, that Fates thing, just as soon as the Fates showed up, I'm like, okay, I'm out, this game makes no sense.
Did you finish it, at least?
I did finish it, yeah, okay. And the princess... ends up with some person, Edgar, I think his name was, right?
Yes.
Never heard of him before, was
yeah,
not
he's
mentioned
definitely one
at
of the
any
other
point
games. Yeah.
Before in the game. It's like, hi, nice to see you at the ending, bro.
Oh, that's funny.
But you'll get to see my, whenever I post it, I think it lost the Twitter poll, so.
Yeah, I saw the poll, and I might have, it's possible I voted against it, because I was concerned that you were just going to be bashing the game the whole time. It's like, no, I don't want to see that, I'll vote for Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah, well, Sherlock Holmes won with a pretty solid lead.
I saw Pizza Boy was in the poll, too, and that was doing pretty well.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yep, it'll be great. So, yeah, no, it's me playing the game blind, but occasionally I check a walkthrough to figure out what I'm going to do to stop it from being the world's longest walkthrough, but it's like 9.5 hours it took me to beat the game.
That's not too bad, yeah. I'm glad to hear you didn't totally hate it, too, because I was worried. I guess I just keep thinking back to Monkey Island and how much those games did not really gel with you.
Yeah, they didn't. But, King's Quest VII was really good. I really liked the animation.
Okay. Yeah.
That's definitely a highlight.
And I love the music, too. The opening theme song, especially. I thought that was really cool.
I can't remember. So here's something I'm not so sure about with the... Like, the opening movie, you start the game and it says you can play the intro or not. But the intro is in, like, this small screen. It's not full screen. Yeah. And later on in the game, when you have the choice to options, you can make things full screen or you know, I guess, windowed mode.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't affect the opening scene. The opening scene still plays in this full screen instead of playing in glorious 640 by 480.
I have a theory about that, actually. It's sort of the same thing with a lot of really old FMV games. It would usually be, like... a tiny live-action window, and then surrounded by buttons and GUI and stuff. And I think the reason they did that was probably because if they included the file at full resolution, it would have taken up way too much space on the floppy disks or CD-ROMs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to shrink the video file, and then if they then blew it up back to full resolution, it would have looked awful. Like, if you tried to watch that the video in full screen, it probably just would look really blurry and messy.
Yeah.
That would be my theory, anyway.
I mean, that makes sense. The animation, I don't know how they did the animation. It sounds like they did it to, like, actual studios and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Disney movie. It's awesome.
I know, that's just like, Curse of Monkey Island?
Yes! Oh, good, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, got the name right and everything, which is also like
impressive.
A Disney movie.
Yes, and also has singing.
Yeah, I kind of wish... I don't know why people are not, like, more nostalgic for that era of adventure games, because that's the one I like, where we get to have, like, full animation, it's all very smooth and everything, as opposed to... I guess people prefer the older pixelated kind in, like, the 80s and the early 90s.
Well, if we can hire an animation studio, we can definitely make an animated adventure game.
I would love to animate it, but
yeah. I mean, I think too, like that era of adventure games, like, it didn't last long. Like, there aren't that many adventure games that look like that, because we very quickly went from pixels to, you know, Disney cartoons, and then into really, 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 really ugly 3D models. Like, King's Quest VIII is just the pits. Monkey Island 4, Escape from Monkey Island, is the just ugliest thing. The Broken Sword that went into 3D. Gabriel Knight, like, all of those games, when they made the jump into 3D, they just looked like awful, awful messes. And they just look even worse by today's standards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, gosh, I'd have to... I'm already kind of forgetting the game, too. I like the Animal Town. That was pretty cool. It's very funny, too. That's what I really liked about the game. That was good.
Yeah, I it's been a little while since I've played it. I think I need to give it another go around. It's actually not most people's favorite King Quest game, too. A lot of people don't like it for some of the reasons we're talking about, the music and the sort of Disney-fied graphics. A lot of people think that made it a less serious-minded adventure game or whatever.
I hate good graphics. I hate music, which is catchy and great.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, not very many people's favorite, but definitely mine.
Let's see, another... One of the... I feel like this game probably came with, like, a good manual which explained how to use things, because it took me forever to figure out how to use the look-at-item system. I actually think that's one of the places where I complain that the game broke and crashed. I think that wasn't the case. I think that was me not knowing how to work the inventory.
Oh, did they do something weird with the interface?
It's something where, I think it's a case where, you know, you can click on an inventory item and then you move it over to the eyeball to look at it.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you have to put it back into the exact same slot in your inventory in order to, you know, put the item down and then regain control of your character.
Actually, it doesn't surprise me that, that Sierra games would have interface issues, because for the longest time, those were more like text-based games, right? Like the first, like, I think more than half of King's Quest games are all like keyboard and text parser. They don't even get to point and click until, like, well, I'm not going to say which one because I don't know, but the majority of their games don't even use a point and click system. So maybe they were still trying to figure out how to make that work in the context of their adventure games.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots now. I see the gigantic eyeball symbol.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. Still pretty good game, I guess. So, yeah. Wouldn't mind seeing more like that. I guess there are no more like that, as you've just said, but...
Yeah. Well, there's also... I might have talked about this because I was just playing it a few months ago, but there's also Toonstruck, starring Christopher Lloyd, which is a cross between this style of animation and FMV. Like, you play as live-action Christopher Lloyd in a cartoon world. It's pretty good.
That sounds amazing, yes.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. So that's another one that has a cartoony style, if you want to check that out at some point. I think I needed a walkthrough for that, too.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely needed to walk through at certain places. It's funny, because there are certain things where... Wherever you call it, something that can be kind of a bothersome in adventure games or just video games in general is when you kind of have the idea of what you're supposed to do, but it's actually a puzzle that you're supposed to solve like 5 chapters from now or 3 chapters from now. It's like, I know we've got this giant sleeping rock. I know I'm going to need to wake it up in order to free the person who's been turned into a deer, whoever he is, Addis. My character seemed to know him, so... But, yeah, no, that ended up being, like, 2 chapters from now when I have a feather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always kind of an issue when the player is thinking several steps ahead of the game or the character. Or, like, when you know the answer to the solution, but you have to go through... when you know the answer to the puzzle, but you have to go, like, through 5 extra steps to get there.
Yeah, or the character needs to know the solution to the puzzle.
Yeah, yeah. The character's like, what? That's crazy. Why would that work? And then you have to learn something in the game that shows you why you want to do that.
Yeah, so that's specifically in King's Quest VII, where the there's a jar, and you need to pour nectar into the jar, and your character needs to be told that, otherwise it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we got tripped up by that in The Beard in the Mirror, too. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure we got complaints about stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I don't think I ran into that problem. I think the only place that happened with Beard and Mirror, it was clearly delineated or explained.
Yeah.
With the puzzle where you needed to get signatures from three people. It's like, oh, I know I'm going to do this, but I need to get all three signatures first. So it's like, well, that makes sense. I knew ahead of time I had to get all three signatures. Like, I would be angry if I, if that wasn't explained in advance, and then the game just like, oh, you gotta get two more signatures now. I'm like,
oh I see.
But
yeah,
I
want to
do this now. Yeah.
Well, I've been playing some video games too. I just picked up the new and last Walking Dead game from Telltale Games, The Walking Dead Final Season. I'm not too far into it, but I'm already very into it. I've had some really interesting experiences with these games. Like with the second Walking Dead game, you play as like a 12-year-old girl, I think, or it's like, you know, a preteen girl. And I found myself like really trying to play the game, like not and respond to different prompts in the game, not as I, Paul, a 32-year-old man would, but as this girl was. So like I find myself like being much, much warier around like older dudes than I would have been normally, for example, and much, I don't know, it was just really interesting experience to try to playing from this completely different perspective than I have any experience with in the real world. And so The Walking Dead Final Season kind of puts me in a similar mindset, because a big part of the game is, at least where I am so far, is that you're sort of the adoptive parent figure to this little child, and the game explicitly tells you that the child is always paying attention to what you do, and you have to like set a good example for them while you're playing the game, and make sure you're raising them the way that you want this child to turn out. So again, like I'm not doing stuff that I would like perhaps normally be doing in this sort of game. I'm trying to make sure that I'm setting a good example, that I'm making the right moral decisions, because I don't want my kid to be totally messed up.
Yeah, you're not stealing that extra slice of pie because the kid
exactly.
is watching you.
Well, I definitely didn't kill someone at one point in the game because my kid was there and I didn't want them to see me do it. Yeah, it's or like you have to choose like what kind of language you use even while around the child, or else they'll start saying bad words just like you do.
Oh, that's the worst. Oh. I know. In real life, it can be tough to do that.
Yeah. It's just fascinating to me to be playing these games from these different points of view like that. It's really cool that video games can do that, can put you into these mindsets that you would never get to do in real life.
I feel like that was part of the fun of King's Quest VII, and again, Beard in the Mirror, when you've got multiple playable characters. Although you spend the majority of the game as the one character, you switch over to this other character, it's like, whoa, it's like... The game plays exactly the same, but it feels like you're getting a completely new, different perspective, especially if the two characters are very different.
So the big difference was how we were writing the dialogue for those characters, and not even Lily had a very different voice from Paul. She wasn't making as many jokes. She was very serious-minded, and I felt like her puzzles were, I guess, not really more like logic-based, but I don't know, they had a different tone to me. Like, she had her mind worked a little differently, I thought. And her puzzle-solving style was a little different. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to play around with. I'd love to do that again. Maybe we'll get it. Maybe when we make our animation studio adventure game.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Well,
four playable characters. It'll be great.
Well, it's weird. I wonder how they did the animation for the first Nancy Drew game, because I think they did that all in-house. I have no idea how, but I remember watching... when they did the remake, and they had, like, here's an interview with the four people in our company who were around for the first game. And he talked about it. It's like, oh, man, that was terrible. It's like, he said, doing the animation was actually really terrible because it would take forever. So it's like, you know, you'd get up tell the computer to write this animation and then have to get up 4 o'clock in the morning when it was finished and say, okay, here's the next line of dialogue that I need you to animate, and, you know, basically hit the button. So I'm like, that does sound awful, but that does also sound like, whoa, is this something I could do?
Does the first Nancy Drew game have like a different style than the other ones?
Yes, it's completely hand animated.
Cool.
I wouldn't say hand animated, but looks like, you know, cartoon characters. They're drawn with pen and ink, although I imagine it's like digital pen and ink. Whereas their previous games, they all had FMV live action characters that you would interact with. And then the following games would all be computer animated characters.
Well, I guess they really didn't like it because they didn't stick with it.
They did not stick with it, yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe someday if we have a budget.
Yep, that'll be great, yeah.
Yeah, we need everyone to buy our new games and our old games, too. Just buy all of them.
Just buy everything. If you don't mind. Pay double. Yeah.
Yes. Man, I'm dying for Steam to add a tipping feature like itch.io has. Like, I even made a post on the secret Steam forums about it. Didn't get much traction, but man, that would be helpful. Because, like, on itch.io, yeah, itch.io has the option that if you want to, when you're buying a game, you can pay a little extra to the developer just to show your support for them. And I want to say, like, at least half of our sales on itch.io, people add a tip to it. Like, sometimes it's just a couple bucks. Sometimes, like, people tip $20 on a $4 game. Like,
wow.
It would be, I'm just, like, picturing in my head, like, a system like that, but then mapped to the scope of Steam players and the number of Steam sales we get. And, like, it would be huge for us. But we can't do that.
Yeah, we'll see. Even with the escape room game, I know in my head there was, like, the most minor of animations, and I'm not even sure how we're going to do that, but there's a rocking horse in the game, and your character's supposed to rock it, and then something falls out of the horse. And I'm like, oh, that should be really easy. I just take the horse and move it in Photoshop by like 1 degree counterclockwise. I'll have to see if that works, but right now it's just you click on the rocking horse and then you get an item, and then it's like, why am I getting an item out of a rocking horse? That makes no sense.
I feel like when I've tried to rotate pixel art specifically in Photoshop, like, it gets all blurry and weird looking if I just move it a couple degrees.
That is, I don't know 100% why. Yeah, like, what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's totally what's going to happen. And I don't know why. I feel like it shouldn't be like that.
So what I've done as my workaround is, this is kind of dumb, but you know how Photoshop has like a preview of what the thing would look like?
So it does?
I just took a screenshot. Well, when you shrink something, I don't know about rotating things, but
okay.
So I've had it where, like, okay, I'm shrinking this picture by half, and it's got the little preview of what it looks like, and then I press, it looks great, the preview looks great, and then I press the check mark button to say, yes, go ahead, do this, and then it becomes all blurry and such. So I just took a screenshot of of my screen when it was doing the perfect looking preview.
Yes.
Of course, then I have to, like, get rid of a bunch of extra lines.
Yeah.
Oh, which are all over it because it's in the process of being shrunk, but that's still close.
Oh, man, hashtag game dev hacks.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I'm like 90% done with the 1 Minute Mysteries game, actually.
Oh, cool.
So, my last tester just got back to me, they didn't like the last puzzle, which was amazing, but I love it. So I think I'm going to keep it, but...
Have your mom test it to see how she does.
Oh, no. I'll talk more about the Mysteries game next month.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, because I'll have it submitted to Hosted Games by then, hopefully.
Oh, cool. So would you like to answer some listener questions?
Yeah, sure.
This one is pretty appropriate to some of the stuff we've just been talking about. Hugh Miller wants to know, how do you guys design your puzzles? Do you base them off of puzzles from other games, or do you just come up with new ones, or both?
I think we've talked about this many times. It's really hard to make puzzles in RenPy. So I mean, even with something simpler like the escape room game, I think basically what happened was, you know, I came up with a list of puzzles or places where I think puzzles would be cool. Like, there's a Christmas tree, and I thought, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if we do this puzzle on the Christmas tree to get the item? And then Paul's like, that sounds impossible.
I believe I said, I don't want to code any of this.
Yep. So I've actually coded it, and Paul was 100% correct.
I keep telling you, RenPy hates puzzles.
The puzzle works. The weird thing is, I mean, I don't quite understand how this works, but just trying to get everything in the right spot in RenPy is just a terrible nightmare. I think the problem is that it's just because it's a pixelated game. Mm-hmm. So it's like when I click on the tree to open up the window to do the tree puzzle, the tree moves up one pixel. And, you know, if I change it in RenPy so it's like, okay, we'll display the tree one pixel lower, it still doesn't match up. I'm like, no, why? Now it's one pixel too low. It just,
yeah.
I hate trying to get the things to match up perfectly, that's all.
It is a huge pain to try to get stuff to display on the screen exactly where you want it. Like, you can lay it out perfectly in Photoshop, and it'll look like a total mess when you put it in the game.
I have to imagine that maybe playing the game in different resolution would be better, or it's just, maybe this just is not noticeable, unless you're playing, like I am, just whatever random resolution my computer's at.
Yeah. Well, if it makes you feel any better, Adventure Game Studio does weird stuff like that, too. Like, there were a lot of times where we would code an animation, and when the animation would start, like, the main character would shift 3 pixels to the right.
That is exactly the kind of nonsense.
So,
yeah.
I'd have to test all these animations individually, which, of course, I was doing anyway, but for every single animation, I'd have to put in some sort of code that says, like, display at, like, -3 or something like that, so it would move back left 3 pixels, stuff like that. And I don't know how that would translate to RenPy, but that was a really annoying thing to have to deal with that I just remembered now, and I'm sad that I remembered it, because it was not very fun.
Yeah, so I've been doing as a workaround is, you know, instead of just, like, making the tree, you know, instead of just having a picture of the tree and putting it on a screen, I make it a little bit bigger, and it's like, okay, here's the screen and a little bit of the background with the line on the wall. That way I can, that way it's easier for me to, you know, line it up perfectly. So that's a weird workaround. I know that I'm pretty sure, like, real game developers don't do that. It's like, no, the tree is by itself on a layer. It's like, no, I can't get the tree to match up perfectly. I'm going to need the background, the tree and a little bit of the background attached to it.
Yeah. All right, so here's this should be a short one from Alicia V. Parker, who asked, would any of your games make a good movie/TV series? If so, which ones? And I just want to say right away that I am utterly, utterly convinced that Cat President would be an amazing anime series, and I will sell the rights to anyone who will make that happen. It would be so good! They'd have, like, a whole, like, they could do, you know, a series of episodes for each character, and, oh man, each pathway, I would love it so much. And I think it would be very popular.
Do they, I was gonna say, do they actually do that in anime? I haven't watched enough anime. I know there's a couple of anime like that where, I think it's called a harem anime, where you've got, like, 5 or so love interests for the main character.
Yeah.
But it's like, is there a show like that where the main character is non-visible? Or would they actually have to, you know, tell us what does the main character look like?
Oh, that's interesting.
And build her up?
There probably would have to be... Yeah, I can't imagine, like, the whole series would be in first person. That would be really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we would have to actually, like, figure out what the main character looks... And we'd have to give her a name, for that matter. I guess it would just be Abigail.
How do they do the investigation scenes in the Phoenix Wright anime? Do they just show him?
I haven't actually watched it.
Me neither, so...
Oops.
I'm guessing that's what they do, because we know what he looks like anyway. It's not that big of a deal jumping from Phoenix Wright from, you know, first person to third person.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be really cool. I watched the anime Steins Gate, which was based on the visual novel of the same name, and I thought that worked out really well. I think there were, like, yeah, different episodes dedicated to the different pathways before it got to, like, the true pathway.
And they all combined.
Or maybe I'm sorry, I might be misspeaking. It might have been just, like, it was the true pathway, just was what the series was. Either way, it was really good, and they just recently re-released Steins Gate. Using, like, anime cutscenes, from the anime in the game, which I think is kind of neat. Kind of like how Phoenix Wright has, in the newer ones, have anime cutscenes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if there are any anime companies out there listening, talk to me.
Talk to us. We would love to work with you. I suppose I can cut.
Yeah. I suppose I can cut Michael in on this, too. We'll talk.
Have your people call our people. It'll be great.
Oh gosh, we need to get some people. We don't have those.
We have some pictures of potatoes and that's it.
And we had one more question from Joe Reviewer. He wants to know, how receptive do you find the visual novel crowd is to non-romance focused / themed games in the genre? Considering that those tend to be the most prolific types of VNs, from my perspective, there seems to be a shift in tastes from the audience.
I have no idea how our games have been received. That's basically your department. So,
I mean, I can tell you the Pizza Boy definitely sold fewer copies than Cat President. It hasn't been out as long, but of all of the games we've released, Cat President has far and away been the smash hit.
It's interesting because Pizza Delivery Boy, I know. It has some romance overtones, but not a whole lot. It's definitely not like Cat President.
Yeah. And we didn't market it as like a dating sim or anything, which I think we did for Cat President.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess there's that. I would actually say less about the romance and more the art style, the photograph thing that we do with these games, actually does turn off some purist VN fans. They don't like it when you make games that don't look like animes. But I don't think all games have to look like animes, so I'm not that interested in that kind of art style for these games. I guess we're at a bit of an impasse there. But no, I mean, we haven't really got a lot of pushback for Pizza Boy based specifically on the fact that it isn't a dating game. We actually got, I submitted Cat President to one of these Steam curators that does, what do you call them? Otome games? I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Otome? Otome?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, games. Yeah, I mean games where I think that games where you're playing as a female character dating a bunch of male characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what the basic idea of the genre is. So anyway, I submitted Cat President to that, and they said there wasn't enough romance for them.
Oh, too much politics, not enough romance.
even our dating game doesn't have enough dating in it. So what are you gonna do? I don't know. I feel like we've never really, like, I always send review keys out to, like, websites and YouTubers that specialize in VNs, and I feel like the games never really click with VN fans specifically as much as they do a, like, kind of a broader audience of people who are just interested in the idea of cats plus politics plus dating.
Mm-hmm.
And less into the idea of visual novels as a whole, so for better or worse. All right, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumpf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oorock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. Our latest game is The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World. You should definitely buy that, as we said earlier. Please buy all of our games, then we can have a budget to make our fantastical musical cartoon adventure game.
Oh, it's a musical now. Okay.
Oh, well, I think it should at least have one or two musical numbers.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we don't need to go crazy with it, but, you know, a nice opening number, something for the closing credits, and maybe something in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oorock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
We are not currently holding auditions for the musical numbers yet, so please do not send us your portfolio until we have opened auditions.
I would actually like to hear your portfolio, so please don't listen to Michael. I want to hear you sing some songs about some cats.
Will the anime be a musical?
It's got to have a theme song, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's something we should be doing. All the cool kid visual novels have like an animated intro with a really cool theme song. We don't have that. Maybe we should do that for Cat President too.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you later.
Bye.